We at episode 56, Lawrence Taylor numbers. This is a special football episode today. We got the LA Rams over here representing. My man didn't get the memo, but me and Britt Baker on the same page right here.
Steelers, that's right. Black and yellow.
They got a dub today. They beat Tom Brady and the Buccaneers.
Did Mitch Trubisky. It's Mitchburg today, baby.
Oh, I like it. I'm still waiting on my Rams. I'm currently not watching. I'm kind of watching them as I'm doing this live. So if you see my eyes peer off in the distance and I get mad, you know why. Anyways, episode 56 of the Swerve City Podcast. We back. It's been a while. Last episode, we had Chris Jericho on here. It's only right that we follow it up with one of the premier ladies of AEW. We got former AEW Women's Champion right here, Britt Baker. What's going on? How's everything going? It's been a wild month for
it
AEW.
Sure has, but it is Sunday, and my team won, and there's nothing better than Sunday football when your team wins, and you can just chill and enjoy everything else. Yo, it's the day off, you know.
We ain't on the road.
Yes.
We ain't coming back watching on the phone or nothing on the plane. We out here chilling. How's your Titans doing?
Hey, bro? Man, by the way, just a corrective. When you want your team to tank, you wear a tank tee. When you want your team to tank, when you want the team to be garbage, so your other quarterback can play,
you don't support
you
them.
You don't support them. You just put on a tank top, and you want them to tank. You know, Malik Willis, I want you to start. Tannehill, it's been cool, it's been great, brother. But we want you to, you know, just go ahead and leave. We don't need no contract extension. Yeah. It's been real. We just want you to tank so we can put in Malik. Right. We want Malik.
Right now. I'm saying, like, Ryan Tannehill is like a bus schedule. He is on time. You know where it's going to go. But it don't go anywhere outside of its routes. It's going to do what it does. Yeah.
But, hey, can you take me the two blocks over? Come on, bro. This is the bus, man. You know where we stop. Three blocks short. We do that. We say this every year. Stop trying to change our schedule. So you need like a Malik to like, you need somebody to just go off the grid a little bit. You know what I mean?
Just run around a little bit. Make it exciting. You know what I mean? Yeah. Make that 10 yards exciting. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't care if you fumble on the process.
I don't even care. Like, I need something on my TV. Like, you know?
Take a little something off Derrick Henry. He runs too much. He is a
way too much. Like, we, oh God, you know we run running backs to the ground. Good. By the time they're 30, they're finished, bro.
The Titans?
Speaking of, yes. You keep saying the bus. The only bus I know is
Jerome Bettis.
She's good, man.
The bus. The one and only bus. I actually met Jerome Bettis. Oh. Listen to this story. This is great.
Okay.
I was actually finishing up watching NXT at Stage AE in Pittsburgh because Adam Cole was wrestling and I was still in dental school. So okay. I got.
What do you do?
Right, baby. I got to go see him wrestle. Went across the street to Jerome Bettis Bar and Grill and we're like eating and I'm like looking at the menu. I'm like talking to the bartender, what's good in here? Like, what do you recommend? And someone comes behind me and goes, the nachos are really good. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And I'm like, wait, Jerome Bettis? He was legit right behind me. And of course, I got a pic. I was, because I'm. That's a huge. That's Jerome Bettis.
That's an icon, right?
So
there.
That was cool.
Yeah. That would be funny. I'd be like, is it not just like, I turn around, it's Hines Ward. What you doing?
You're in the wrong spot.
Like, yo, bro. No, but I'll never forget that Super Bowl, man. That's why I was like, NFL fixed. Jerome Bettis retiring in the Super Bowl, winning it in his hometown. I'm like, I don't know. But that was actually one of the most exciting Super Bowls I've ever seen.
That's how I felt when you beat us in the Super Bowl. At the 1 yard line, he's right there, and he
should have thrown the Yancey thick pin.
You know when I was
that's all we had.
When I was wondering about the being last year, who was playing? Where it was the Chargers? Was it the Chargers and the Rams when it was tied, and all they had to do was tie, and then they both go to the playoffs?
Oh, yeah. I forget who the teams were, but I remember the game.
It was definitely the Chargers, I think. But it was, anyway, so if they tied, the Steelers got bumped out of the playoffs. So all we needed was one team to win. And I was like, oh, my God. It was, who was that last year? I can't remember.
I don't know.
It was the last playoff game.
We're going to get that. We're going to get that back, that information back. We're going to keep moving forward, though. Because, man, Mike the Ghost going to do his research. The Oracle over there. Look at him already typing away.
There you go.
Look at him, man. Look at him.
Man,
look
he's
at
already
him.
Finding coordinates. Anyway. So, Britsburg, you went to school in Penn State University.
Yes,
so, you went to State College?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, you went to the big
Penn State. I went to the real Penn State. Yeah. That's what's messy about Pennsylvania. People say, I went to Penn State. Like, and then, which one? What do you mean, which
you
one?
Went to Harrisburg,
the
Penn
real
State.
One? The only real one? Yeah, there's Penn State Altoona, Penn State Barron, Penn State this, that.
Not too many people know that.
I spent all 4 years at the real deal Penn State. I sat front row for every single home football game.
Oh. Okay, so who was like the alumni that was like going into the draft those years from Penn State at that time?
Michael Motti went to the Vikings, I think, that year. Hey, yeah, that's my dude, the Nittany Lion.
Nittany.
Allen Robinson was around then.
Was around this year.
Yeah, so, and then, you know, not too many out of my class actually got drafted, but it was fun. Like, because there's nothing better than college football. Mm-hmm. And I'm biased towards Big Ten football. It's like its own little thing. Me and Tony Khan talk about this all the time because he's the Illinois alumni. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
But there's nothing like being in the White House. Every time I go back now, I still get chills.
Yeah, all I hear is about is the Big Ten and SEC. That's SEC, all I hear about where the best games to go to.
Yep.
Because Ohio State.
No, the Pac's fire now.
Michigan,
yep.
I'm just saying from what I've heard. Don't shoot me. I'm not a big college guy. Don't shoot me, dog.
I'm an SEC fan, and they're coming to.
I'm terrible at, like, I don't know, like, college football until it gets to the draft. Then I really start.
Have you been to a college football game?
No.
You have to.
College football, no. I've been to NFL games.
But I will say this. I've been to one Duke Blue Devil game, basketball. And I've never seen anything like it. So I understand what you guys are saying. Yep. That is like, it's like packed. You think somebody's going to get hurt in these kind of games. You're like. Like, at least in the crowd, because how rabid everybody is.
The college atmosphere is so electric. Like, professional people just get angry. Like, they get mad at their teams. But college, like that's your team. That's your ride or die. You don't care. Tomorrow, you're going to wake up, still put on your Penn State colors.
You think
and
it's
that's
like how fans of soccer are over, because, like, that's their country. So they represent their country, their home place. They were born there.
Yep.
That's you are the fan of. So I think that's the same, similar to college sports. Like, that's where I grew up. That's where my father went. My mother went. Her mom, her dad, her all this.
Yeah.
So it kind of goes all the way through the family lineage.
Exactly. And I still have not been to a soccer game. Have you?
I did.
I can't wait. I'm going
to
go.
I went to the Orlando one.
I'm going to go to a Fulham game someday. With our boy TK.
Yeah.
I have to support. But everyone says that soccer is like one of the most intense and amazing atmospheres to be into, so I have to go.
I went to the Orlando ones with Stefan the ref.
Oh, yeah.
Him and AJ went down there, and that was one of the cool, like, I never been to a soccer game, but I was like, okay, what? And we were sitting behind the net, so whenever they got close and they were about to get a goal, you kind of got a little, you sat up a little bit, and you got like, come on.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know your name, but get in there, kick it. So it is exciting, like, just being in person, and when they do, like, score. The whole arena.
It's a huge deal. Yeah.
It's huge. It's like, man, like, it's almost like watching home runs, grand slams get hit every time.
Or like kind of like hockey. You don't, because in hockey, it's not, you don't like hockey?
It's cold live.
You like hockey?
No matter what, it's cold. It's always going to be a cold game.
I had two invites to two Tampa Bay Lightning games that I didn't go. And
they just got smacked by the Penguins last night or night before.
I regret not going. I really want to try it out. I really just want to see what the atmosphere is like.
So
I understand
much
the goal might be 2-1, but I just I'm thinking like, oh, you know, of course you think, oh, I just want to see fighting and all. It's I know it's a whole beauty to the game. Yeah. And I really want to go just to try something different.
It's definitely different. It's still like the fun, competitive sports, athletics, but it's like just gritty and rowdy, and the fans are gritty and rowdy too, and it's fun.
I think more of college compared to pros. Like with the pros, you kind of have less, even though in college you kind of understand that not everybody on the team is going to make it to the professionals. It's more of a pride thing.
Yep.
This is our school. This is where we're at type thing. And the pros, you have less give.
Yep.
It's 52 of y'all professionals, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, so that's why I understand when he said he gets angry. Like, in NFL, I can understand it. Like, but you're a professional, dog. Like, this stuff ain't supposed to be happening.
Yeah.
As it was, college is more of a pride thing. Your cousin might have went there. You know what I mean?
You feel like an attachment to that.
Yeah,
even if
like
you lose
it's in
a
your
game,
blood.
You're like mm-hmm. you're upset, but it's like, okay, we got a chance to come back.
Yeah.
You always got a good recruitment process, so every year you know you're going to get good class
I think
coming
that's
in.
Another thing, too, because you know, like, especially if it's seniors playing, they're not coming back. You know, you like, so you were like there because
it's sad.
This is their send off.
That's a part of your college experience leaving, because, like, that. Say the quarterback's graduating, that's your quarterback. They're leaving.
Yeah, right. And if you're a fan of a pretty good team that's always in the standings in the top 10, 15, you at least know you're always going to have a good quarterback or good something. You know what I mean? You're always going to have that.
Yep.
So, you know, at least with a good process, you're able to have more patience. And with this, in NFL, If you don't have a good quarterback, you stuck 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Until yeah, one cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, Titans.
Yeah. After yes. McNair, we were trash for, you know.
Yo, y'all had some hope with Vince for like a half a year? Year?
About 2 years.
Year and a half.
And we had Jake Locker.
Ooh, yeah. Moving on. Let's talk about going from Penn State to actual professional wrestling. Were you actually wrestling at the same time you were in?
So I was finishing up at Penn State and working as I was applying to dental school. You have to take your DATs, you have to take a bunch of exams and pass stuff to even be able to apply to dental school. So I was finishing my application process and like I kind of decided I wanted to go to Pitt. I was kind of between Philly and Pitt, but I really wanted to go to Pitt. Super, you know, well-respected dental school. And all my friends that my college friends that I watched wrestling with, like we bought the pay-per-views with in at Penn State, they said, you know, Pittsburgh has a huge independent wrestling scene. I had no idea what it was. I was like, what the
independent?
So I'm Googling, like they said, no, they said indie, right? I'm like, indie music? Yeah. What the hell is this? So I'm like, I'm Googling everything. I'm like, wow, this is crazy. And then I see guys like Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins and like on wrestling in bingo halls. And I'm like, what the hell? What is this? And why did all these people, all my favorites, like start whatever this is? And then it like puts things into perspective and gets the wheels turning. Like, well, they did that. Maybe I could do that. So just for the heck of it, I tried out at IWC. It's a wrestling promotion in Pittsburgh.
I wrestled there before. Yeah. Great place.
And I fell in love with it right away. And they were like, yep, you know, we're going to take you into our next class. You start next week. The problem was I didn't officially move to Pittsburgh for another 2-3 months. So I had to keep driving back and forth from State College to Pittsburgh, which is like two and a half hours one way, which I loved it. It wasn't a burden whatsoever. But when you are training, you know, you're paying your dues for the shows. You're putting up the ring. You're taking it down. So sometimes I didn't even get to leave the arenas till the high school gym until a 4 a.m. and I would have to drive back and go to class. So it was definitely a struggle, but I loved it. I mean, never was I like, oh, this sucks.
So how was it explaining to like other people that were in your classroom that you were like wrestling, like you're trying to achieve, like
I didn't tell them for the longest time because
nobody's going to understand that.
And they don't, it's not cool to them. If you're not studying and living in the library and you don't want to be an oral surgeon and get 110% on every exam, you're not cool in dental school. And I was definitely in the not cool section because I was leaving to go to the gym, leaving to go train. I would sit in the back row of every lecture and watch wrestling.
Yep.
And everyone knew. And then finally people caught on that I was training to be a wrestler, and that just made me even more of an outcast. Like, I was never the cool kid in school. I was the weirdo that liked wrestling.
Man, it was cool to not to be doing extracurricular stuff instead of school. They'd be like, you doing getting good grades and stuff, man? What are you talking about, man? That's not cool, man. I failed like 3 classes that week, man. What are you talking about?
But you ain't ask Tessa to do your homework, bro. I mean, she's right there, bro. What you do for you?
Well, if you don't copy off that joint on your freaking...
Look,
like what row of teeth is that, man? That's a molar, bro. I answered molar 4 times on that exam, man. Still fasted,
man. But I love the dedication to that because, like, that's how you could. Some people talk about like I'm passionate about something. I'm passionate about it. Like true passion is doing something. In my mind, that's just me. It could be a different definition to everybody, and that's what passion really truly is. Mm-hmm. What's your definition of passionate about something? Is the fact that you did it when you didn't have to and you did it when it was hard. The hardest part is when you, like, because it's easy to just say, you know what, nah, I can do this later. But when you do stuff later and you put it off, it gets further and further away. And then, like, the possibility of achieving it gets further and further away.
Yeah.
Because you're taking the priority.
Yeah.
And it's other people telling you, no, this is the priority. This is what you need to focus on.
Yep.
Like, but I can do both. No, you can't. Yes, I can. That's passion in my mind.
And everyone,
so that's a true passion thing.
Everyone always told me, you know, like, you're going to have to pick one or the other. You can't do both of this forever. And I'm, like, so stubborn. So anytime someone would tell me that, it'd make me so mad. And I would just be like, okay, but I'm not going to. I'm not. I'm not gonna pick. I'm gonna do them both.
Like, you know your drive more than somebody else would know your drive.
Right, exactly. Like I knew in my heart and soul that I was gonna be successful at both, and that's why I never really stressed or worried. And anytime someone says like, what's the best advice you can give to someone? I say take everything one day at a time, because if you look big picture at your goals, sometimes that is so overwhelming and just. It can be terrifying. If you take it one day at a time, like when I was in dental school, I'd wake up, you know, I had to take this exam, I had to study, I had to go to class, I had to go to the gym, I had to go to wrestling training, I had to go back to my house and study. That's it. Tomorrow, I'll worry about tomorrow. Uh-huh. Take it one day at a time, because if I look at, I have to go to this independent wrestling show that's in Chicago that I have to drive to, which is 8 hours. I have to pass my dental boards. I have to do this and that. That is like...
Yeah.
That is setting yourself up for failure, because that is too much pressure to put on yourself.
It psychs you out before you start.
And if you break it down, you can definitely, it's manageable. You can handle it. You just need to, it's all perspective. It's how you can chop it up and view it.
That's what I said. I usually say that same thing. I always compared it to like if you look at your dreams and goals as like a big forest, you're like, all right, chop through this forest. Mm-hmm. You're going to look at the forest and be like, there's no way I can do this.
Yeah.
It's impossible. I can't do that. I'm not even going to start because it's just too big. It's too much. But when you start like, you know what, here, they just tell you, just go through the forest. Just chop. And you just get your thing. You just chop, 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 chop. And then you just get kind of comfortable. Just going, going, going. Then you look back, you're like, whoa, I'm already halfway through.
Yeah.
The way it goes.
And you're like, you didn't even think about it. You're just going through your thing. You're going through one tree, one bush, one like limb at a time. And now you're going to accomplish way more than you even thought you could before you even start. So.
And the thing is, too, is like, you almost, especially with being this year that we're in 2022, and you see how many people are multi-talented at many different things. And I don't know how many times people like Swerve, myself, yourself, people that are great at doing different things. It's almost like if they don't see it, they just don't think it's possible.
Right.
But they look at each and every day, you see some of your top celebrities or top people in the world, not even celebrities, entertainers, whatever people look up to. These people know how to do multiple things all the time.
Yep.
But it seems like when it comes to yourself or when your name gets brought into conversation, you're not going to be able to do it. How are you going to be able to be a dentist and a wrestler or do music, movies, podcasts? Mm-hmm. And wrestle and then they look at you like you're crazy. And then when you do it, it's almost like, oh, it's like, well, you shouldn't have doubted me, bro. Like,
and I feel like that's like, that fires people like us up. Like, it's like gives us more drive. Like, if you try to doubt me, okay. Please keep doing it. Please.
I think we all have that same commonality.
We talk about this every day.
We talk about it for like 2 hours. Because like, we like, how many times do we have to tell these people? Like, it's just.
Keep putting caps on us, bro. Yeah. Keep doing it.
And we're just going to find different ways.
Yep.
Bro.
Find different ways. Because I'm not going to be able to do it. I know he is.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean?
I'm like, Teezy got me. You know what they told me last week, bro? And then all of a sudden, hey, remember that thing you said last week? Guess what I just got? I'm like, look at God. Look at God work.
We're gonna find a way to make it happen.
Find a way.
It's each and every day. And I can just imagine what you were going through, especially being a dentist. And you're like, I know those people don't understand the wrestling dynamic.
But the other side too. Like,
and then, I'm about to say that. And then you go to the other side.
I did not.
Do you wrestle fans either. Get your teeth cleaned or not?
They're like,
I'm not even asking that question.
The wrestlers were like, you're in dental school? Okay, you're definitely not going to make it through wrestling. You're not dedicated. You have a guaranteed job as a dentist. Forget it.
Your struggle isn't real.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Mind you, I was eating ramen noodles, living off student loans to pay for my wrestling training.
Yep.
You know, I was selling my books, my textbooks, and using the ones at a library instead, like renting them so that I could buy tickets for like Raw or the Royal Rumble when it came to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I was, you know, really hustling but I loved it. It was so exciting to me. And at no point was I like, man, I'm going to fail. This sucks and it's not going to be worth it. I never had that mentality once.
Who's the inspirations that you looked up to at that time? What was the year?
Wrestling wise. So that was right around, WrestleMania 30 with Daniel Bryan. Like, yeah. That was like my favorite underdog success story. I was so inspired by that. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. I loved his story, and that was that. And what was special for me is that's the story that got a lot of my non-wrestling friends into wrestling, because they would watch Total Divas and get into it, and then they'd actually watch the wrestling show and be like, "Oh wow, wait, this wrestling is pretty cool. Like, this is amazing."
Total Divas pulled in so many like outside watchers yes. into like the product. It was like, oh, they connected the dots from that, and then that brought a lot of like,
and
female and female.
For me, it was exciting because it was like, wait, I get to see the backstage, you know,
oh, yeah.
drama, which whether it was real or fake, I'm like, this is so cool. I get to see them like at the hotel or eating breakfast, or mm-hmm. and it was just, you know, for us, it was cool.
Man, I kind of miss the nuance of like not knowing what these, like, my favorite celebrities do, though. You know, like, I know too much about my favorites, and I'm kind of like, ah.
It's social media.
It's
ruining our lives.
It is. Man, when I was growing up, I didn't know what Lil Bow Wow ate for breakfast. You know, I wanted to. I didn't know that.
Well, it's even like if you watch,
that was Real House on Cribs or not. Yeah, I know.
If you watch old wrestling, yeah. and like the pops when everyone comes out, everyone has the signs. They're losing their minds.
Yep.
You watch Camera wrestling flashes. Now, everyone has their yep. cell phones up on Instagram story because they want to show that they're there. They want to, and you know, it's capturing the memory too. But it was just people. People were very much more present in the moment
yeah.
before the social media plunge.
For right. sure. I miss the camera flashes when Eddie Guerrero yes. was doing a frog splash.
Yes.
Or when someone saw Michael Superkick, Jeff Hardy, Swanton.
Yep.
The camera flashes.
When they go up on the turnbuckle. All
yeah,
the,
yeah. Brock with the F5.
Yeah.
I miss the whole, like, because we would look at the books later on, and you just see the whole
yep.
move being done in succession and all the flashes. I miss those moments.
I know.
Now it's just all, like, digital, and I'm like, it's cool. I can access it. That's cool. But I miss having the hard copy of the photo, the book, the whole thing to
yeah.
lay out. It's in my collection, and I can just go back and look at it any time. We need to get back to that in some way.
I guess one thing that, like, I mean, we a blessing to it is, like, we do get cool little clips and gifts and this and that. Like, you know, back in the day, Shawn Michaels didn't get gifts of super kicks, but, we get them now.
So let me ask you this question. Cause this goes into your dynamic with your early background. When you started doing your training, I'm pretty sure that Johnny knew what you were doing as well. I'm pretty sure you talked to him, had a good relationship with him.
Gargano?
Yes.
So that actually came later. Mm. So I finished training at IWC, right. and then I wanted to keep training because you get your fundamentals, and yep. they're like,
now you got to okay, fine tune.
Good luck. I wanted to keep training and learn like more advanced stuff because right. To stand out on the independents, you really got to know some stuff. It's not just take down like headlock takeover, shoulder tackle. You got to learn some now stuff.
Spice things up a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was a big fan of Johnny Gargano and Candice right. LeRae, and they were in Cleveland, so it was like a 3-hour drive. So to me, I'm like, well, I can do that. So then I called up the John Thorne, who was actually the promoter for AIW, and said like I wanted to train. So I would go back and forth twice a week between Pittsburgh after dental school, Pittsburgh and Cleveland
right.
to train.
Gotcha. So what was their response like? Because, you know, you always tell them, you might tell them, hey, I have these dreams. Oh, that's the goat right there. Michael, fine. I'll tell you. You know, you have these dreams, and also, you know, you're getting your degree. And what did they say when you told them what you were doing as well outside of wrestling?
So supportive. So, like, they couldn't believe it. They're like, wait, what? This is crazy. And then they also couldn't believe that I was driving from Pittsburgh, too, because everyone was local. But for me, it wasn't weird because it's just what you do. It's a stepping stone of the process of my end game, of my goal. Like, that's just the next step. Okay, well, I got to go to Cleveland to train. Cool. It's not a big deal.
It's also so odd what we get ourselves used to. Like, oh, yeah. Well, you're doing 5-hour drives? I'm like, yeah. Problem.
We're like, desensitized
to
it.
We are so yeah. bad. Like, I look at certain things in my regular everyday life, and I'm like, man, this used to be very interesting, but now it's not anymore. It doesn't hold me anymore
yeah.
because my nerve system yep. is just shot over years of doing this. Like, we get thousands of people screaming our names every
yep.
week.
Yep.
So it's kind of like that affirmation feel from yeah. like just on certain little things. It just doesn't hit the same as what it does for the normal people. Like, oh my God, you did that. Like, you got that. I'm like, yeah, yeah. We're just shot, man. We're just we're not normal people. I'm letting y'all know now. I'm not a normal person.
I will say, working in the dental office keeps me very humble.
That's true.
Because Wednesday, Dynamite, I come out and I feel like a rock star. They're chanting yep. DMD. It's awesome, this and that. And then Thursday, I take the first flight, like sometimes 5-6 in the morning, go straight off the plane to my dental office in my scrubs, and I'm working all day in the dental office, and a lot of my patients don't know or care that I'm a professional wrestler. So
that's a good escape.
I have an 80-year-old yelling at me that her dentures don't fit, or a kid biting my finger off. It gets very humbling. It's very, like, it keeps me very grounded.
That's true. That's
very true.
That's true, man. That's very true. Like, what now, is that the satisfaction you get from that still? Like, just, like, I'm still able to, like, be with these, like, help people in
yeah,
that same sense?
Yeah, I just love it. Like, dentistry, people think, like, oh, you're just cleaning teeth. That's gross. That's weird. Like, no, there's so much into it. It's just as much science as it is art. It's an art project. Every time someone comes in and something's wrong, like, first you have to access, like, what's going on? How can I make them healthier? But how can I make them feel good about themselves too? And it's like a gift that I need to, I'd be silly for me not to use. I went to school for 8 years, $500,000 in student loans. Why would I just throw that out the window? And I
throw myself out the window.
Before AEW, I dreaded the day where I was going to have to give that up, because at the time there was only WWE. And of course I knew I would have to go. If you knock on wood, I got signed, I would go through NXT. There's no time for dental practices. So, and I was like, I want to be on TV so bad. I want to be a successful wrestler, but I don't want to give this up either. So that's when I got the call about AEW. I was like, but wait, the first question I asked was, can I still be a dentist? Absolutely. Can I
be Batwoman? Back to being, you know, Barbara Gordon.
Look at baby Britt. Oh my gosh. That's like 2017, 16. Baby Britt.
Feels so long ago, but
it does.
This is really not that.
Oh my god,
far
I feel like I've lived 20 lives since then.
That's what this does.
Yeah,
that's what that life does to you. You feel like you've done, like,
I think the entertainment business does it to all of us, bro.
This is true.
It ages us, like, in a way,
bro.
Like it's. I mean, dude, I've seen it so many times. I see, like, before and after pictures, even us.
Yeah.
And just stuff of what we've done, and people that I've been watching on TV, and just the stories you start hearing. It goes by like a book.
Yep.
Like a chapter, this goes by so quick.
Yep.
Like, remember we shot this video? Like, damn, that was 4 years ago, bro. Yeah.
No.
It felt like yesterday to us.
No, people look at you and be like, damn, man, you changed so much. You just got your life together, man. It's been a great couple years. Man, this was like 6 months ago. What are you talking about?
Like, bro, I've just been able to pay. I may be able to pay my rent like twice over and be okay now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this just happened. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. Things are, I'm just getting my foot in this thing called life, you know, just figuring it out. But, like, that's the grind we go through, to, like, try to, like, figure out, first off, to learn our craft.
Right.
Learn it. Be sufficient at it.
Right.
To the best we can be.
Right.
And then to just be like, find out who we are in it. And then,
which is the hardest part, in my opinion.
That's what I wanted to get with you about here. Yes. Talk with you about.
Yes.
Expanding upon the Britt Baker persona, bringing in DMD was like a genius move, because there's not too many people in the professional wrestling industry, let alone the entertainment industry, that literally juggle both a dentistry or any type of, like, well, I would say dentistry specifically.
Yeah.
And like music, or dentistry and acting, dentistry and like professional wrestling, dentistry and comedy. There's not too many people that can do that. But it took someone really, like, for one, very smart, very in tune with themselves and understanding to know that I can mold both of them together. Oh, dentist wrestling, Isaac Yankum, what?
Yeah, no. Oh my God.
Because that's the only other one. And I feel like that stained
any. I get that all the time. Are you Isaac Yankum's daughter?
Yep. I feel like that stained that.
All the time.
That stained, that gimmick, like, has stained that.
Stop
freaking.
The Isaac Yankum jokes.
That gimmick for so long.
It wasn't good. It sucked.
It stained that character for generations.
DMD is better. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah. It's lasted more than 2 minutes on television.
That's
so, yes.
Right.
Yeah. So, what was, like, the, like, you being honestly, like, just vulnerable and being like, you know what? I'm going to let that part of my real life into this life, you know? Because I think the talk show was really big with that, too, that you had.
Yeah, so it was, like, kind of a sense of pride that I was like, you know, I worked really, really hard for this, and I'm proud of myself. And it was, like, for once in my life, because I kind of, like, hid dentistry from the professional wrestling world, and I hid, you know, vice versa. Like, I wasn't allowing them to merge. And then finally, it was kind of like this big release. It was actually at All In, where I graduated, I finally was a doctor, and I was announced for the first time, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and I came out in like a white lab coat and everything, and that was the first time where I was like, you know what, I'm going to mix these worlds, because I worked really hard to put those three letters after my name, and I own want to hear it in an entire arena. And I didn't know if it would stick or if I would keep doing it, but right. That's, you know, it was just, I wanted to. That's the reason.
I think it was instant standout. It was like one of those moments where, like, I get it. As soon as you walked on stage, I get it. And then when you start getting the x-rays of the teeth yep. on the Titantron.
That's my teeth. On the Titantron, when it comes out.
I was about to say, whose mouth is that?
It's my mouth. It's my teeth.
That's cool. Yep. But like, it was just like people just instantly recognize, I get it. You don't have to explain it. Now I'm in. And I think that was a genius move. Then I think a lot of wrestlers, entertainers find like it's difficult to take what you are and or whatever you're trying to, you know, put together mm-hmm. and put it on screen outside of wrestling ring.
Yeah.
You know, like some people could just like, oh yeah, me. And I put it in the wrestling ring and you can just do that. But yeah. like, okay, now be you. How can you take you and your persona and whatever you are outside of the wrestling ring? How does that work in the real world? You found a great way to do that with the talk show.
Yeah.
And I thought that's where I was like, she's got it. Yeah. I was watching on the other side of the fence and I'm like, now she's got it. She's figured it out. Now yep. talk about, like, I heard it was very, very, very stressful putting those shows together because yes. it was late and it was long.
So late. It was during the pandemic era. Yep. It was outside. Yep. So in Jacksonville, Florida, it's like the wackiest place in the world because it can be 105 degrees or it can be like 25 degrees.
Yep. Wow.
And we're outside. People, mm-hmm. Some people still don't understand. Daly's place is outside. It's we're
yeah, in Bird's the
weather.
Chirp, yes.
We're very much living the weather. The elements. But yeah, it was always like really late at night. And also we kind of needed to plug what was going to be on Dynamite the next week, but sometimes Tony really didn't know until super late at night. So I sometimes wouldn't get the content and put together I was going to say with Tony until right before I was going to go out and film it. Granted, it was pre-taped, so it was fine, but still I like to be like a one take mm-hmm. kind of girl. You know what I mean?
As you graduated to like one take Tony, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it was fun, but it was stressful, but it was, and it was fun too, just to interact with so many other people in the roster that I would never get to work with pretty much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think you brought a lot out of them, too. Or you made them think about who they are to go on that show and bring something out of them.
Yeah.
And I think it's a two-way street with these kind of things. Yeah. And some people, like a lot of fans, like, were kind of like laugh or downplay it because it was on Dark or it was this or whatever. I'm like, no, these are tools for later on. I don't think a lot of fans realize what these things set up for, like, superstars. Like, Tay Conti just came over at the time. Like, Tay Conti didn't. She had a understanding of who she of like what they wanted her to be in NXT, but now you're on your own. You're in the Wild Wild West. You're in, you know, you're like kind of figuring out things while you're traveling on AEW.
I loved it was on Dark because like for me it was something totally different that was on Dark. It was like a little
breaks
it up from all the wrestling, and also I liked being a part of telling other people's stories, like being, you know, just all I'm literally doing is helping them turn the page. They're writing the story, but still. Yeah.
But they don't even know they're doing that.
I'm part of it. And that's that's cool to me.
Yeah. I think that's a valuable tool. And like, I think we could go back to having something very similar like that for AEW to break up the wrestling. Cause we have like, honestly, the most talented roster in professional wrestling today in any freaking promotion, industry, country. Yep. I think AEW is it.
Yes.
Like we strike gold in every category. But now it's like, okay, now we got the core. We got the guys, the ladies that we're just like, okay, these are it.
We're cooking.
Now we're clicking. Now we got to start churning out these personalities a little bit more because like, there's so much more to pull from a Daniel Garcia.
Yeah.
There's so much more to pull from like, you know, freaking, even a Bryan Danielson. There's like, at his age, there's still more to pull from that man with his mind and like what he talks about in the locker room to us as people. Yeah. I'm like, why aren't you saying this on TV?
Fascinating.
He's like, a very fascinating person.
What I have to add to that too.
Yeah.
Is regardless of, this is not talking about any rumors or anything that people hear, what you might hear, that's not what we're here to talk about. But regardless of if it is, and also to add to that, sometimes some good tension is a good thing.
A little bit.
And sometimes some tension is a good thing. Because, you know, everybody's competitive. And I say it has to go to another level. But what I'm saying is, with you, like, even in a promo like this, or sometimes when you just, it's on the fly and you just gotta go at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're like, okay, well, I can't let this person outdo me on the mic. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, mm-hmm. it becomes that.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with being open about that and saying, you know, yes is great to you, but also competition as well.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong with a good healthy competition, a healthy tension. Absolutely. Especially with it being later.
Yes.
And Tony not making the decision, and it might be you and that other person, you have no idea what you're doing, and you just got to go out there. Okay, I got some.
One of my favorite promos I ever did was an in-ring promo with Ruby. And we were going back and forth.
I remember
like,
that spice talk.
I remember that.
It was so intense and so fire, but it was like, it made me really up my game because everything she was coming at me with, I was like, no one's really
did that for me in a promo before.
Okay. Normally, yeah. I feel like a lot of times I'm on my own with the promo. It's just me and Shivani, and it's fun. But then she's coming at me, and it made me up my game because like Ruby, she's sleep on her. She's a talker.
Yeah, she is. She's a slick talker. Yeah. I love when other people bring that out of other people too. That's what makes that's why I say like this roster is one of the most rocking rosters in pro wrestling because somebody's always bringing something out of somebody else at some point. Like, I feel like Darby's one of the best at that.
Mm-hmm.
He awakens Brody King and is like, okay, now I got to keep my eye on these guys. You know, like, I feel like myself and Keith Lee did that with the Acclaimed. Like, whoa, we woke these guys. Wake them up. Like, sometimes you need that. You need that little tension and competitive nature, but like, oh, I'm better than you. Show me that you're better than me. Show me that.
Yep.
You know, you need that. Yep. And, you know, so.
It ups each other's game. That's all.
Pressure makes diamonds.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, do you think Thunder Rosa is your opposite with that?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah?
For sure. Like, we always say it's kind of like the Batman and Joker type. Mm-hmm. Like, one needs the other for the success story to happen. You know, we don't like each other. There's always tension, but that tension makes good TV.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
I still think it's my division.
Winners do. Winners should.
Winners should, right.
I mean, winners should.
And you've been dominating this whole time. So,
I'm just saying.
Who's going to oppose that?
I mean, like now, that return, it better be real. The games better be upped. That's all I'm saying.
That's right.
That's all I'm saying. You got to bring the thing.
I never missed any episodes of TV with every like broken bone and injury and injuries, and that. So
talk about going through them injuries a little bit. Let's go into that. Let's go.
What bone have I not broken at this point?
That's what I'm saying. Did you fix your own?
My leg, my nose twice now, my wrist. I had a concussion and I was at work every week because that's where I wanted to be. I had my nose surgery on a Monday. Dynamite was on a Wednesday. I was there cutting a promo because I wanted to be. And Tony, you know Tony. He's the most caring, wonderful guy. But I was like, no, this is an opportunity. I'm going to have like black eye, you know, sick in the head. I'm gonna look cool.
Told you we are odd people.
Yeah, like what? My face is broken and bruised. I should do a promo on TV. That would be cool. Who thinks like that? We do.
We do.
But yeah, I have a very competitive mentality, but I'm also like, I hold myself accountable because I was put in a position to succeed. And if I drop the ball with that, then that's on me. Mm-hmm. It's very much a sink or swim environment in AEW. And I've been given the opportunities to sink or swim, but I'm swimming. Nobody can say that I'm not, you know, capitalizing on every opportunity that's given to me.
Yeah. Hey, I'm saying you.
I'm talking about
broke your leg. You was on a football field with a broken leg. I'm just saying. I saw I saw the footage myself. Now, allow me to boast a little bit. Then allow me to
go ahead.
Brag a
Please
little bit.
Please do.
In that chair right there, and I feel like there's a little bit of like you know, it's a chiral moment right here on two different brands. I would say. We had Charlotte Flair in that same seat talking about her taking criticism for being the head of the women's division, being the standard for women's wrestling. And with the good comes the bad.
All the bad. More bad.
More bad. Yep. We see more bad than we see good. Yep. And sometimes the bad tastes a little bit tart more than the good.
Brutal. It's brutal. Yeah. And it's mentally taxing.
It is taxing.
Yes.
Now, with that comes pressure, like we always say, pressure. I would, me personally,
compare y'all to each other's brands. WWE is Charlotte Flair. I would say AEW, Britt Baker. Mm-hmm. You're on the face of a lot of things. You promoting the video game, doing a lot of that. With all that comes a lot of hate.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. With all that comes a Ooh. Lot of hate. It comes a lot of ridicule. It comes a lot of little jabs and everything like that. How do you handle that? Because we asked Charlotte the same thing mm-hmm. when we're here. I'm going to ask you the same thing.
Yep.
With being the standard and dealing with that and dealing with these people and being in this situation.
So I do consider myself the face of the women's division, and that's a job and that's a priority. So me doing what I do at TV every week, me being on TV, that's a presence. I'm one of the top stars in the division, but I'm doing all these outside things that are given to me and hitting home runs left and right. If you send me
the Comic Cons and
Comic-Con, that's what I'm saying. Comic Cons, mm-hmm. not only going to be in a Comic Con, I'm going to network and be meet this person, that person, and be like, hey, have you heard of AEW? Because let me tell you all about this. And then next thing you know, we have John Kreese from Cobra Kai showing up with me at mm-hmm. AEW Dynamite.
Yep.
I'm taking advantage of every single opportunity, but and I do get compared to Charlotte all the time on Twitter, which like for me, I'm like, okay, cool. One of the best women's wrestlers of all mm-hmm. time. That, you're so mean for calling me that, right?
Ooh.
No. Right. But it's people don't understand the constant pressure that comes with all the hate that you get. And it's like, we are people. And I think on Twitter, they dehumanize us. Like, oh, we're just wrestling characters, but we're not. We're people. And this is our job. And we want to be like everybody in the world, you want to be good at your job.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing everything you can to not mess up. And sometimes you still might, but the next day you're working 10 times harder to make sure you don't make those same mistakes because we're human. So being with the face of the vision, you're under a microscope. No matter what you do, what you're saying, everybody has you under a microscope and they are looking for the
peel it apart.
Second to twist and turn your words to, you know, watch a match and all of a sudden they know it all. They're like, oh, I see what happened right there. Britt did this wrong because she did that wrong. And then she went to Tony and told Tony this, 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 and this. And then that's why this happened. No, it's not. It's like this was written 3 weeks ago. And this, you can't let that get in your brain or you will drive yourself insane because I have. Talking to people like Chris Jericho, like Tony Schiavone, like Tony Khan to just say, like, do not listen to Twitter. Get it out of your head. It's not real. Listen to your coworkers. Listen to your peers. Listen to the people you look up to in wrestling. Listen to the fans.
Like, we asked Charlotte the same question. We was like, who do you talk to that's not in wrestling about wrestling or about dealing with this same stuff?
So it's hard because I talk to my friends who still watch wrestling. So they're not technically in. They understand what's going on. It's for, like kind of, but they don't know the nuts and bolts and the inner workings, which
is good.
For me is like it's the best kind of advice I can go to because you know, they're fans and they like what they like and they can recognize a good product and a bad product and they're brutally honest because they're your friends, but they're not like all up in the backstage drama and this and that and the politics. So it's cool. You get a very like unbiased opinion.
Right. I feel like it's the same for you in music. Like, you got to talk to, like...
Ooh, I got so... he's hitting the nerve and all, but listen.
Like, listen. You ain't asking, it's like, hey, you made a song. It's like, it's not finished. You might just messed around. Like, oh, is somebody, you talk to somebody, you hear... They're like, oh, your levels is off. You got to mix the tweeters a little bit. You got to... I don't know. Like, I'm like, man, can you shake your ass to it or not? That's all I want to know. Then I'll go back and mess with some other shit. I just need to know, like... would you play this for your girl? Would you play this for your homie? Would you play this in the
right,
at the bar mitzvah? Would you play this in the would you play it in the bowling alley? Would you play it like that's all I want to know.
But you know what the great thing is that I've learned about life and being around successful people like yourself, like him, like Charlotte. And I watched a lot of documentaries, right? So I've come to this conclusion, thinking of what this subject. The best person who had the best reaction to this, waiting on for their time, was The Rock. Because at the time, Austin was the man.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Austin had the opportunities. He had the video game covers. He was the champion. It was him and Vince. And
yep, he was
the man.
Yep.
The Rock
had all the commercials, too.
The Rock did not hate on Austin. The Rock said, I'm going to be competitive. I want to get there. But you know what? How about not having a bad relationship with the top person? How about I just learn from him and be cool with him and work with him? How about I keep a good relationship with that person? So if I need a vote of confidence, if something happens... What do you know? My name comes up. And Britt can say, you know what? She's been cool with me this whole time. She never hated on me. You know what? If you ask my opinion, I think she's pretty dope.
I mean, I'm not going to keep dissing, you know, Drake every week on this record. Maybe
she's got some great opportunities. You know, maybe she taking a little time off. Maybe, you know, hey, Tony. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Keep, why have a bad relationship with who's having their time? When Austin had his time, The Rock
business.
Was competitive. He wanted the spot, but he never let it get to a certain point. He rooted for Austin. He's like, if I'm gonna be 1A2 or number two, I'm gonna be a happy number two.
Yep.
And I'm okay with that.
People forget, before I was in the position I was in, I lost to like every girl on the roster. Mm-hmm. 2 to 3 times. My first year and a half, 2 years of AEW, I was losing. I was always losing. And when I was a babyface, even when I was a heel, I was losing to the point where it was like time for me to start challenging, get ready to challenge Sheeta for the belt. My record was so bad. I had to do like 10 dark matches to get my record up so that I could be number one contender.
Well, were you getting Twitter ridicule? Like, when is the Britt Baker's time? No.
I will say, funny thing with wrestling fans is they love you on the climb, the journey up. The second you get the belt, the second you get the win or this or that, whatever, then it's the next person's turn and you're taking up somebody's space.
They're not managers and stuff at their jobs, when they're the top people at their jobs. But all of a sudden, when it comes to wrestling.
Man, when is Charles going to get a shot at manager?
You're not relatable no more. And these are people with great jobs and they're the bosses. Yep.
Like Brad ain't been to work in like 3 days, man. What is his job? I think he earned it. He's really good at counting the cash register. He's really good. Like, I don't care.
Thank you, brother.
It's his turn.
That's the way it'll be.
Like Tiffany stocks inventory every night. She's good at it. She's run the bitch. Like, no.
Hey, man, baby, like, she...
I would really like to do sketches like this to just flip the inverse of wrestling psychology fan psychology with it to like real, like, all right, let's take this whole, like, your whole freaking, like, psychology of this whole thing and let's put it to you what you do at a regular everyday life. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
It makes all the sense to us because we're not real people.
You know what,
Derek? We're not. We're dehumanized. Yeah. Like I'm telling
you. You know what, Derek? You do a great job loading cereal. And you do a great job doing cereal and juice, my man. That's great. You know what? Derek needs to be store manager. No, he does not.
No, he's not. He is good at loading cereal. He's good between aisle 7 and 8.
Them Cheerios is never out of date, bro. You never have to worry about it. You know what I mean? But he needs to be store manager. He's good.
But back on the topic of Charlotte, her and I have chatted. She has given me so much advice.
Charlotte's
just
great.
Ways,
you know what I'm Charlotte's great ways, when you ask for it.
Because just to like kind of get through this, like she really has given me some solid advice just to like stay true to what you know is true and don't worry about the narratives that fans are creating or what they think they want to be true, because like you know what's going on, you know how hard you're working, and she's been fantastic to me.
The top don't look down at the bottom.
That's right.
The bottom always looks up at the top.
Right.
You become the standard. You become what everybody studies. You become what everybody wants to be at or excel at, and a person like yourself, like a Charlotte, you guys have done nothing but great things at being able to do that. And especially, it's different for you because this is a new company.
Very new.
So you're the flag bearer. You're what people are going to be like 10, 15, 20 years from now when it started.
I hope so. I hope they remember us day ones. Because
the pioneers.
AEW has a bright future, and there's going to be so many rock stars that come in and out. And to be a part of
when
the
I
beginning.
Came and I asked the question. I asked questions about from the day ones. I'm like, all right, you were here from this. Like, what's changed? What's transitioned? What are the things that you saw? Like, what are the things that like have improved that we could like. You ask those things because you want to survey the landscape of what you're getting into.
Yeah.
When you understand the landscape of wherever, like, what's going on over here, what's going on over here, but what's going on in your, like, mainly, primarily, your home, like, your home court, whatever.
Yeah.
That's how you grow with your company. Mm-hmm. Some people are just, like, trying to, grow when the company's supposed to be over here. I'm like,
no. you know, what's so toxic is when somebody thinks they're bigger than the company. Oh. Or that the company needs them. No, there's literally no one in AEW that they need other than Tony Khan to survive. Everybody can be replaced.
I'm saying.
And we always talk about that, too. With life. You always, anybody replace with
there can be another you tomorrow.
Let me ask you this, though. Now that the pendulum's kind of switched and the Cecil kind of, and you're at a top position, you were once, you know, learning from Gargano and mm-hmm. Candice and being that person who was on the come up. Now you're at the top. Who's that person for you that you want to show some love? Shout out anybody, male, female, whatever, that you see coming up that you're like, you know what?
In the company or not in the company.
Or not in the company, right. That you say, you know what, that person, this person here, they're pretty dope at what they're doing, or I see something, or, you know, with your talented eye that you see coming up in any way.
So it's not even that this person is, that I'm more experienced than them. It's just that this person has had setback after setback, and that's Chris Statlander.
Chris Stat
is such a superstar, and it's these injuries are driving everybody insane. Obviously, her is heartbreaking for her, but for all of us, it's like she is it. Like, she is such a rock star, such a superstar. Same thing, obviously, Jamie Hayter. She just got a later start to TV than the rest of us, but that's dumb because she is a rock star. She's a rock star. That's my main girl. Anna Jay, who is literally a baby, has been learning professional wrestling matches on live TV, basically. Like, she's so inexperienced, but she's still a star, and she's improving so insanely fast.
I would like to see Anna Jay on a talk show like that.
Yes. Yeah.
That's where you can pull more out of it, and she doesn't even know that she's getting it.
And she's so hungry to learn. Like, Anna Jay, she's not an addict, and she's like, she walks out with Chris Jericho now. So for some people, that might get to your head and be like, oh, well, I don't need to keep working. She always wants to work. She wants to learn. I have nothing but respect for Anna Jay.
Big. I would like to shout out Willow Nightingale.
Oh, my God, Willow.
Willow, man.
Man, I'm obsessed with her. She's my favorite person to watch wrestling now.
Yo, she took advantage of an opportunity, and it just snowballed and snowballed and got bigger and got bigger. Now she's in segments with Saraya, yourself.
Yes.
Like, she just...
She wrestled Jamie Hayter.
And had a banger, too.
And Jade, she's challenging for the TBS title and having, like... competitive matches. Yep. She's like that's the
one that's, like I said, just snowballing, and it's like taking advantage of the situation and surveying the landscape.
I'm actually envious of Willow because when I watch her, she's just so early on in TV wrestling. She knows who she is. She knows who Willow Nightingale is. And for me, like, that was so hard for me at first, figure out who I was and what was going to click with myself, what was going to feel authentic. She's got it, and she's been on TV how many times?
Maybe two handfuls, maybe.
That's so impressive to me.
But that's like the thing of like the comfortability that she has going out there to do it too. It's just like, that's very rare. It's
confidence.
Like, yeah, she's just comfortable and like, oh, I slipped. Oh, well, and it keeps going. Yep. Like, I'm like, that's just like the vulnerability to do that.
It's like what makes you likable because you're relatable.
Yeah. It's like,
there's a certain dynamic I have to ask you too, because, you know, you see. It's funny because how the dynamic works. You see somebody like the wonderful husband Adam, and to see what he did with his run in NXT at the time with the Undisputed Era, and you know, at that time that was like quotation his time.
Yeah,
you know, and now the dynamic is switched, whereas you're having your run.
Yeah,
in the sense of what you're having your time. Like, how's that dynamic of supporting each other, even when he was having and him having his time, you having your time. Tell me about that dynamic.
He is like. Literally my biggest fan in the world. Doesn't matter what he has. He was at, when my Lights Out match aired, he had it playing backstage at NXT because he did not want to miss it. Like, he would watch my segments on TV when he was working at NXT because it was the Wednesday Night Wars at first, don't forget. And he would always, like, text me and say, hey, I watched this, give me feedback right away. He's always so wonderful with giving, like, brutally honest feedback in the nicest way possible. Because sometimes our feelings can get hurt. But in the nice way possible.
I don't do that no more.
Yeah, well, I know. We're kind of past that, too. He's pretty much like, hey, bro, this was cool, but this...
I got it.
This sucked. No, but I don't know. I think... I don't really see it that way, like, my time, his time. I think it's just different. Like, right now, he's not on TV right now because, you know, he's recovering and this and that.
Right.
And it's just, I'm there and he's not. Type of thing. I don't really see it as it's not his time. I think it's just he's gets a much needed break right now.
Absolutely.
For sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely. You know, and that's great to see. And
he's having a good time. He chugs right now, bro. He chugs. Chugs is winning right now, bro.
He's in a good space, man.
Like oh my gosh. I'm happy for him for everything he's done. Man. Talk about social media. He is the nicest guy, I think, in all of wrestling and gets so much hate for no reason. It's like he has not been on TV for months, and he's trending every other day for something. For like this reason, that reason, we don't want him here, we want him here, this, that. It's like, shut up and leave him alone and let him heal, because
somebody else will do something in those heels.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that happens. He loves wrestling more than any fan on the planet. He lives for professional wrestling, and all he wants to do is put on a good performance for all the fans. That's all he cares about. So it's like when these fans just like get on him about something, it's like it's so frustrating and heartbreaking to me, because I know all he wants is to make fans happy. Whether it's like, you know, be the best heel he can be, or be the best babyface he can be, or, you know, if you ever meet him at a meet and greet, he will sit and talk to you listen to your life story about professional wrestling for 20 minutes, because he wants to hear it. He wants to learn about you as a fan and, you know, what your journey and what your passion is. He's that kind of guy. He cares so, so much. That's his fatal flaw. He cares so much about everything and everyone.
Mm-hmm. But he's also like one of the ones that will pull you up too.
Oh my God!
Like,
yes.
If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here.
No, well, that's so nice of you to say.
No, seriously, because we're Lancaster, Pennsylvania guys. Yeah. So like, it was his recommendation for me to come to CZW.
Yep.
So if it wasn't for him, I would not be here.
Yeah.
Like that's so.
He's excited for everyone too. Like
he really is.
If someone has a great match, he's, because you know some people get weird and jealous, but like he's so excited. Like when he sees his friends doing well, he'd be like, "Oh my God, that was so amazing! That was so cool, Britt. Did you see this? Look how cool this is." He's just so excited and happy for everybody. He wants everyone to do well.
Yeah, I get in the frustration stage. I'm like, I know what you can be. I know what you can do.
Yeah.
I'm like, I get frustrated for a lot of people on shows because I see the full potential before they even see it.
Yeah.
And we've talked about these many times. I'm like, watch, it's coming. This person, it's coming. They don't see it yet. It's not there yet. Yeah. But it is coming, and I've called it many, many times. Everybody here can attest to it. I just get the frustration because I'm like, it's there.
Yeah.
But I can't even help you with it. Yeah. Because you got to pull it out of yourself. You got to
find it. Yep.
You got to. And that's the that's why I'm like frustrated with those things. But Cole is just like the booster. He wants to boost you up, push you into the right direction.
He'll grab you and say, come on.
Yeah,
here
he
we
will
go.
Literally go out on the field with you. All right, we're going to do this together. That's Cole. Like me, I'm just like, I will. Light some candles, incense around you. Bring out some like spiritual thing, and then you walk out and you'll be like, I don't know what happened. I don't know. And then all of a sudden one day you're just doing your regular thing. It happened. I got it. I'm like, yes, sensei. Yes, I'm that guy, you know. But man,
but that's good too. We need all the guys, all the different guys.
We need both. You know, I'm also like I'm hard headed too. So like.
If I put my hands on you, I'm putting my hands on you.
Yeah.
To freaking get this done. I'm like, so therefore I gotta like, I got kids, man. Patience has grown on me for many years. I have had to be like, all right, use the potty, and I can't do it. Yeah. So anyway, we got to move on to some outside wrestling stuff. We have some trick trap right now, man. So. You a gamer too, right?
Like old school gaming.
Well, how old school are we talking?
So Nintendo 64, PlayStation 2 was my prime. And
PlayStation 2 is old school now?
Yes.
We say it like
yes.
That ain't no old
they don't
school.
Even like. Do you know how hard it is to even find like the PlayStation 2 brand controllers, like the original controllers?
Anything with an analog stick is not old school to me.
I did play Atari, original Atari, when I would visit my grandma and my grandpa's house
UOG,
on the farm,
UOG.
But. Nintendo 64, PlayStation 2. I haven't played anything beyond that. Like, I don't even know how to hold the Xbox controller. So, yeah.
I think
I'm gonna hand you a GameCube controller and see what you do with it.
Okay. I think I could try it.
I think that it like what is like considered old school now for like consoles? Like that, I think that is. Like,
so let me tell you. So I just ordered. We just wanted to have something fun to do. So I ordered a Nintendo 64. He has one in the game room. But I wanted one for the living room where we could just sit down and, like, just start. I'm a DK64 girl. Oof. Wanted to play some. Our TV, our smart TV, is too new.
Yep.
You cannot, it won't take a Nintendo 64 because it's too old. And even with the converter, because I did it all. We did the converter, this, that. That's how old the Nintendo is now. Like, old.
Man.
Old TVs, bro.
Man, I'll play some Perfect Dark on the living room. Come on, bro. What are we doing? Come on, games, TVs, technology.
I'm starting to die on the hill that those games with those terrible graphics are better than the stuff that's coming out now.
Bro, like we argue about this every day.
Like, the stuff that, okay, the graphics, I may be able to see. But I can't play.
Right.
Like I don't
know. Why am I still getting stuck on this nice little rock in this corner, right? Great. I can't move.
Right.
This guy's doing backflips while I'm moving and everything, but the gameplay is terrible.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I can't even see my stick figure, but this game is smooth
as hell. Yeah, but you got to wait for the update 3.65 coming out in November, bro. Then I'll be able to hold my gun with two hands rather than the one.
Right. Like, you jump and it's like lagging, but you're like, okay, hey, I still made the jump on the old Nintendo 64.
Like James Bond 007, I'd rather just have the little arrow, the little aim thing.
I love that point, game. Click,
shoot,
yes.
And shoot. And then my guy don't have to be John Wick, bro. I'm cool. I'm cool with that.
Right. Odd job.
Yeah, like,
right.
Like, yo, I put on this skin for my character and he lost his two legs, bro. What happened? Like, we just updated this.
And it's $2.99 and you got to pay for it.
Yeah. Per bullet.
Meanwhile, you just turn on the game and you just go through GoldenEye each mission. You know where you're going. You get your little body armor that look like a piece of coal. You know, like a little piece of body armor, and you get and then you shoot the little gun.
It was
gun,
so simple. And
you
just
go and you keep
Super Mario.
Super Mario. You knew what you had to do. Find the star.
Yes.
Get to the flag. Fly down the pole.
So good.
It was so simple.
Except
simple
swimming.
Times.
That was hard for me.
Swimming was hard as hell in
so
every game.
So hard, yes.
That's like being on ice.
Diddy Kong was hard.
Any ice level. Racing. That was impossible.
Yeah, oh my God.
Any ice level in any game.
We had to race the penguin in Crash. Mario 64.
Oh, for me, it was Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, my God. Like, oh, I love Crash Bandicoot. The penguin.
What game was like your kryptonite? Like, it's on 64. Like, it's really hard for you to play. Like, what's your challenge?
So I thought Zelda was really hard.
I thought that was hard then.
Especially like not knowing, like I didn't know I could like look it up, like the cheats or the you know strategy guide. I did.
You had the book.
My mom and dad got us the book, and we started playing. We're like, oh my God, we can do it now. But that was so hard for me at the time.
Man, what was my hard game? Like. Actually, I'll take it a step further. What was a game that you used to coast through back in the day? Now you try to play as hard as a like it's hard, like it's so hard. I'm like, Spyro used to be easy.
Yeah,
Spyro's the hardest game on the planet Earth now. Trying to play that now at 33 years old, I cannot play Spyro.
I can't do anything like Wii related with like tennis and stuff. Like that. I'm overly aggressive. Like
finesse no more.
I just like you tap, man. You just do a light thing, man. I'm like. Why is it going like I barely moved?
The boy got no wrist. He's just
like years ago. You know, like, yeah, you know, you get little strikes as I play with my kid. Like, my son's 11 now, so play with him about 3 or 4. Now he's trying to play it now. I'm like, real aggressive with it.
Yeah.
And no matter how light I try it, I just tennis when I'm flicking the thing, it's going over. I'm like, I just can't do this no more.
I realize how much patience I've lost now with Donkey Kong 64 when I play it. So not only like when you get to the next level, then you got to go back and beat the level before with all the characters you unlocked. So I got to go beat it with Diddy and Tiny and Chunky and Lanky, and it's like, oh my God, this takes so freaking long.
Time is a different element to us now.
Right, it
like,
is.
Like now, like back then,
we don't
time
have
to
time.
Waste.
We have no time.
Oh, like no, it's 4 o'clock. Hold right. on, what? Like no. Oh man, like y'all looking forward to any new games coming out? I know Cole is like a big old Halo guy.
He's the Halo biggest guy. That's
he was Master Chief.
He was Master Chief.
At a Revolution.
Yep, that was his favorite gear. That was his favorite. I actually got that design for him as a surprise.
He has the shoes too now. Don't he got the sneakers?
Yep, he got the
Halo sneakers.
So I got him custom Jordans, Halo Jordans.
That's what it was.
But then he also, Halo gave him... They're like Halo boots. They only made, I don't know, X amount, like 300 or so. And they Halo gave him like Halo boots.
It is from him just streaming it so much. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he and Halo are like best buds. All those Halo people. I know nothing. I've never played the game.
You
know nothing
been in the
about
show.
It. I know. I didn't watch any of the show. Did you like it?
I didn't. I watched reviews on it.
I heard the helmet was a big deal, that his helmet was
like,
off.
What?
Yeah.
Hold on, what happened?
Didn't wear his helmet. What? And people were mad.
See, that's like that's the thing about like gaming culture with the fans. If you don't have that iconic piece that made this game famous, mm-hmm. and you like kind of like shy away from it.
Yeah.
So
that's
so
like Mario without the hat.
That's like Resident Evil without zombies. It's like, yes. Why are we here? Like, what
right.
are we doing?
Right.
You know, like you mess that one thing up and turns people off.
Yeah, it's like introducing new characters in Mortal Kombat for no goddamn reason. How do you expect me to go buy my damn ticket to go watch that movie? I'm sorry.
He's so sensitive.
I'm sensitive about Mortal Kombat, man. I'm sorry.
And they can't get it right. No Mortal Kombat.
Nothing. Goro done came back for the meantime. And then Liu Kang been killed, and then he back. And then it's like, where
Red and white, then he's Chinese, stuff. Then he does this, then he's Japanese. Like, I'm like, oh boy.
So now Goro's hiding the sheds now, this is what we doing? A four-arm creature. He bigger than the shed.
Well, come on now, get up in there.
He was sitting there reading the book like, all right, let's wait for him to pop up.
No. What's a I would say like a pop culture thing that you were like, you're very like hands-on with it, like, don't mess this up, or you're, you know what I mean? You hold something near and dear to your heart.
Ooh.
Like any like movie or any like, you know.
They better not remake anything Golden Girls.
Some of those Disney Channel original movies I'm really passionate about.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah.
The whole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. All right. Yes. All right. What are we talking here?
Johnny Tsunami was a big one.
Mine was Brink.
Oh, Brink.
Brink.
Team Pup Inside. Yo. Yes.
Brink. What? Yes. Yo, all right, come on, y'all. I know we talk about this. Yes. We talk about this often. Come on, y'all need to jump in this. Can you do the wand thing again? Mike, please put like in post-edit. I'll do you one more. Yeah, Taj Mowry, son. What's good? Smart guy. Hounded. I love
it.
Movie was terrible, and I love it.
I mean, I don't think any of them were actually good, but at the time, like Halloween Town to me was my favorite Halloween movie, and you watch it back now and you're like, this is wacky and wild.
Doo doo. These effects is poop.
I still love it because it was like, it's the magic back then.
And I don't want Disney to retouch it. I don't want a Halloween Town 4. I don't want.
I was weird about Hocus Pocus at first because I was like, I don't know. You need to touch it.
I can't touch it. I couldn't touch it.
I got through half of it. It's yesterday.
Oh. The Hocus Pocus, what, the new one?
Yeah.
Same actresses, too.
The witches were the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
They leave it alone. Why you thought that up? Why you gotta touch
I
that?
I know.
It was fine.
Yeah.
Money from who? Who was asking for it?
Give me a new Xenon from the future.
Ooh.
Girl from the future.
I love Xenon.
Come on, man. Let's
Fetus the Petus.
Like, give me a Smart House 4. Oh, I can go to Smart House 4 till I start getting angry. I give you 3.
Yep.
I take that back. I give you 2. I give you 2 Smart Houses. Because that's a brilliant concept and it's never been touched ever since in any other film.
It was so good. Smart House was
great. Give me a Luck of the Irish 3.
Ooh, same actor.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Yep. He was in Final Destination 3. Terrible. But yeah, like, give me, come on. I keep going, man.
Halloween movies.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know his name. Ryan Kirkpatrick, I don't know, but yeah, like, give me, like, well, let's keep going. What do we got here? Like,
what was the motocross one?
Motocross,
yeah, with the girl with covered hair. Yeah.
Give me another one. Give me like, what was it? The two tall girls in school playing basketball.
Oh, what was that one? Double team.
Double team.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. No, it was.
Yes, it was.
Double team was like Dennis Rodman, wasn't it? Like John Claude Van Damme. Yeah, that was.
I don't know. I think it was though.
It was like, that was Dennis Rodman and like Jean-Claude Van Damme was double teamed.
Maybe it was 2.
They probably did it.
Don't Look Under the Bed.
Oh, I know. No.
Why? That actually was a scary movie.
It was
for
scary.
A that was
scary
weird.
Scary for me.
So, that was a really weird movie.
It's both.
It was double teamed, right?
Yeah, yeah. Double teamed Disney. And then you got double teamed with Dennis Rodman and
Jean-Claude Van Damme. We should have a. Should have a, you know, universes crossed on that one.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. Just beat up some high school girls. Anyway, man, there's some great ones, bro. Ignore that.
I stay in. I don't know. Are you looking forward to Black Adam?
I am. You know what? I am not super. I'm trying to be better about getting into superhero.
Now's the wrong time for Marvel, though.
Well, I don't know. For me, it's all cool because I've never seen anything. You know,
we had Britt Baker in Phase 2.
Okay,
this is Phase 4. We looking at Baker Britt. I don't know if I feel about that with Marvel.
Yeah. What about DC?
DC is actually having some little successes.
Dark Knight. I love Joker. You know, anything with Joker. That's what I'm saying.
Little success. Wonder Woman was good.
Yes.
So there's like little successes that you can find here and there.
As long as they like being siren. As long as we always complain about. Let's let Joker rest a little bit. Give me a regular movie. Give me a Bane movie. Just give
The Batman. A little success. Yeah. There's like little successes.
Batman versus Man Bat.
Yeah, it's literally this happened. Yes.
There's something else besides the man with the clown. But I love the Joker movies, but.
Yeah, the Batman was cool. I'm like, all right, we did something without Joker. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, who's that in the cell over there? Oh, all right, here we go. Like, had to slide him in there somehow. He couldn't just do it without him.
We just got here.
It took you 3 hours. We almost had it.
Like, there's got to be a 2 hour way you can mail out why Bane got this thing injected in him and he become this big guy. Give me 2 hours of that. I'm cool. One movie.
It's so much.
You know what I mean?
Give me some Victor Zsasz. That's an interesting character with an interesting backstory.
Even who's the one that was underrated? The Doctor Strange one. The Doctor one that was
That's Marvel, but
No, not Doctor Strange.
Hugo Strange.
Hugo Strange. Give me that.
Well, he was on the show Gotham. They used him on the show. Like, there's a lot of interest. Like, let's stop wearing out Joker. Let's stop wearing out Harley Quinn and Suicide Squad, influenced by Joker. Like, that's still the Joker. Stop it. Like, you know what I mean?
I love Joker in the movie.
I love it too.
It was like, I watched it twice in the same day because I was like, wait, what? Let me watch that back. I loved it.
Absolutely.
I enjoyed it, but I was like,
You're done with it. You're over it.
I just want them to invest in other characters too.
Yeah. It's a big universe. I got an encyclopedia.
Batman fighting a lot of bastards. there's a lot of stories, and even Joker might be the top one to everybody.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of. You could dive in more into Riddler. You could dive in more into Scarecrow. You could dive into more of the other characters and who they are. But there's still a lot to be told.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Give me some Damian Wayne. That's a good story.
We know Robin weak, but why is he weak? You know what I mean? Like, why?
Which Robin? Jason Todd, Tim Drake? What are we talking about? Like, you know?
I don't know. Long leave George Clooney out of Batman. We good, bro.
Yeah. Don't ever. No.
I love you, George.
No, I don't. Anyway. Black Adam, there's a lot of hype around it.
Yeah, I'm excited for Black Adam.
There's a lot of hype around it, but like, I still don't know the plot. I don't know what the premise is. I don't understand. I know the Black Adam story a little bit here and there, but I think we just promoting Dwayne.
That's why I'm excited, honestly. I'm excited.
Find a way to get Kevin Hart involved.
hey, Black Adam! You forgot your cape.
I don't have a cape.
Oh shit! I can see that. Anyway, we about to start closing up. Anything you watching right now? You watching?
I just watched the Dahmer documentary.
I didn't start it yet.
Or not the documentary, the show. What's his name?
Evan Peters.
Evan Peters.
I have to start that. It's on my TV on my fan. I have to start it.
It was so mentally disturbing. The one night I was so scared, and it's not like gory. Like, it's not.
That's what they say. Blood it's and just guts. Psychological.
It's just psychological. So disturbing. The one night I turned it off and put on Shrek so I could get my mind in a better place, because it was just like that. These poor men and these poor families, like, oh my God, I can't imagine it. Even if that happened today, that would be absolute horror, terrifying. But it happened however many years ago, and when that, it's insane. I love Cobra Kai. I watch Cobra Kai. Did you Blackbird? Walter Hauser.
I need some new shows. Put me on.
I think it's called Blackbird, right? It's a show. It's 6 episodes. Let me Google it real quick.
After Jeffrey Dahmer, I might put on Kim Possible. Get my.
You're gonna have to.
Yeah, get my. I got excited. Yes, I got Blackbird. Too excited about these Disney movies.
It's based off a true story, and it's really, really, really good. And it is like the best job ever from Paul Walter Hauser, if you're a fan of him at all.
I'm gonna jump into something because I need some. I'm getting like Power.
coming to a close with Kanan.
Yeah, man.
You don't like yo, Kanan's actually fire. Yes.
Man, after Ghost was gone, I was watching Tommy's show. I watched Tommy's. And I only watched
I couldn't Tommy. Finish Tommy. I was like,
I can't watch Tariq getting on my nerves. Little boy just won't die. And then you got, and then you just, and then the one with 50 growing up, like he already dies. So it's like, why don't you show me this before?
I know how this ends.
Okay, yeah. Kanan dies, but you gonna show me all this before?
Yeah.
And then we're back at the scene where he gets shot by the cops. Like, I don't know.
And it, yeah, that's the thing. I think that's why he kind of tainted, because his death didn't have like a really definitive like impact.
Right.
Shot by the cops. Oh, okay. Moving on. Next right. scene.
And now, oh, yeah. We're gonna go back to when he was a child and how he grew up. Why?
Like, well, but he know, like, even I don't care how good his story
was. We know his. And it was flat.
Right.
I didn't watch it.
This dude survived a fire. Yeah. It was like, huh?
Yeah. I wanted to see him, like, and at, like, at the end of Die Hard, fall off the Nakatomi building. Something big. You gonna go out, like, as a character to redo his story. But his story is being told really well. Actually, Jukebox's story is even more interesting than Kanan's.
Just make it a Jukebox show. That's fine. That's fine. Name it Jukebox. I'll watch that.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Raising Juke. Yeah.
Cool. I don't know. Some people, I'm sorry, we go on a tangent about this, but there's certain shows, and when you get fully invested in these shows, you just want some continuity.
Yeah.
Mm. It just seems like it's a bunch of ideas just to get people a paycheck. There's nothing wrong with that. You get your money, people. But it's just, I need some continuity in the story.
That's
like, we
fair.
Talk about Sami Zayn, he is a story with him.
We love Sami Zayn.
Every week is continuity. We can watch it each and every week and say, oh, where's this
honorary
going?
Oose.
Right, where's this going?
Love it. It's yourself such on a TV. Good story.
Him, you guys got great things going on. I watch y'all, I'll be like, okay, where's this going? And it's like, yes. And I can watch it. And it's something I can invest my time into. But if you're already dead, and then you're coming back.
I lost the title already.
The only person that only works for is The Undertaker, by the way. It works for nobody else. So, you know.
That's fair.
Yeah, man, it's time to take this to a closing. We gotta get out of here, get it back home to Chugs.
That's right.
Yes, because he's playing video games. It's been too long. So, man, it was an awesome time having Britt Baker here, one of the pioneers of AEW. Not just the women, just the pioneers for the company. Period.
In wrestling,
in general.
Thank you.
Very important woman in here. I have the utmost respect for you. We have Britt Baker supportive. Community in here, and you're welcome back anytime.
Oh,
we've had some very special people sitting
thank
in that
you,
chair.
Thank you. I'm honored. I'm honored.
We honored to have
and
you
this
here.
Graphic is like one of the best.
You
want to
take it home with you
all time? I kind of do.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, take that with you and the TV because it's old. So anyway,
well,
yeah.
I can play my Nintendo 64.
Yeah, you can play the 64 right on that mug. So, that yard sale that mug. But anyway, episode 56 of Swerve City Podcast. This has been Britt Baker. What, anything you want to plug, anything you want to shout out, anything you want to say, what, get it off your chest.
I just want you guys to keep watching Dynamite every Wednesday, Rampage every Friday, and follow me if you're not, at Real Britt Baker. Watch the freaking podcast. I guess you already did if you're at this part, huh?
Hey, go get your teeth cleaned.
That's right.
There's a button at the bottom left corner when you scroll, and then you scroll down here. And you see this lovely young lady on here? Call subscribe.
Subscribe.
Y'all act like y'all can't do that, but.
Hit a like. Just comment even.
Yeah, hit that.
Nicely. We're people. Be confident in everything you do.
Yeah.
Wash your ass.
Do your homework.
Floss.